person at a time since 1988.
The blame game continues in the world of politics, but what else is new? We're talking about the Republicans and the primaries. What's at stake? 51 delegates in the Sunshine State on Tuesday. Mitt Romney, according to the polls, should be that winner. But wait a second, there are a lot of people that are not backing Mitt Romney. Seems as though most of the world thinks it's Romney and Newt Gingrich. Are you kidding me? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And this is where we start. Lots of politics. What an interesting week it's going to be in Washington, too, by the way. They've got some layup legislation that they're voting on in the Senate come Monday. And that's about insider trading. Oh, you can't use the information you know in Washington and use it to your advantage when you're a lawmaker? Oh, my, you have to be kidding me. Gee, how many people are going to vote that legislation down now that they've been caught? At least some of them on the Hill. Anyway, let's go to Mitt Romney for a second as he takes a few punches at, or a few swings anyway. Don't know if he landed any punches to the head of Newt Gingrich.
I think it's very unfortunate. My record, my integrity, my honesty has been demonstrated over my life. I've been married to the same woman 42 years, worked at two businesses, Bain, for about 25 years. Speaker Gingrich's comments over the last few days have been sad and painfully revealing. We're seeing a side of Newt Gingrich we hadn't seen since he was Speaker several years ago. And I think we understand why it was that his members felt that they didn't want to support him. You have hundreds of people who worked with Newt Gingrich while he was Speaker, and only a handful are willing to support him now. The Speaker's attacks, I think, are really unbecoming of his leadership.
All right, so it seems that it's this battle of Rock'em Sock'em Robots has been manufactured to boil it down to two people. A lot of folks not happy with that, feeling as though they don't have much of a say in this thing. You do if you go and vote in the primaries and you're a registered Republican, you're registered to vote. So when the primary comes your way, let your vote do the talking. In Florida, anyway, it's looking like, according to the polls, Mitt Romney, but the endorsements are rolling in for Newt Gingrich, like Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, who says Romney's not the guy at all. It's all about Newt Gingrich. In fact, he took his own swings at Mitt Romney. And Herman Cain, who says there's another nine to add to his 999, and that includes nine reasons why Newt Gingrich should be the nominee. And the Tampa Tribune, one of the big papers in Florida, endorsing Newt Gingrich, saying that he's the conservative guy. He's not the one that's being trotted out, meaning Mitt Romney is who the so-called establishment is saying he's going to be it. You know, you have a Republican Party that has a lot of different types of groups connected to it, whether it's purely based on somebody being a conservative Republican, somebody being a more moderate Republican, someone being an evangelical Republican, Tea Partier, that's added to the mix. So it's interesting to see what happens with, I think, some real cracks in the party overall as to see who's going to ultimately be the nominee. Does the establishment guy get rammed down everybody's throat, or does somebody else, you know, come in? Can a Ron Paul win this? And the answer is, because I've been getting this question a lot, can Ron Paul win it? Well, he can, but will he win it right now? No way. Because he has to get the primary delegates. If he were to win the primaries, then the Republican Party would have to take Ron Paul in. He would get the delegates. They would vote him in, and that would be that. End of story. Even if he has people that are giving him money, young people rallying around him, all kinds of people pushing for Ron Paul, it still is not going to make him get that nomination. It's based purely on the system of getting the delegates. So he has to win those. He's got to start winning some states. If he starts to win some states, that would make this entertaining. Because then, how could the Republican Party ignore Ron Paul? He would have delegates going his way, voting. He would get those delegates, you know, one after another as you go down the list. Remember, we're only a couple states into this. So maybe the prediction of this all wrapping up on Super Tuesday was premature. On second thought, maybe this goes through the spring. If you're listening and you're a Ron Paul supporter, then the thing that you do is you have to get people to rally around Ron Paul, who are card-carrying Republicans who can vote in the primaries, that will go out and vote for him when it comes your time to vote in a primary, wherever you're, whatever state you hail from. That's how you do it. That's the only way it can happen, unless he were to decide to run on a third party, and he has said many times now, because he's starting to be asked that a lot, no, no, and no, that he's a Republican, that he's staying on the Republican ticket. He's not going to branch out. He's not going to spin off to a third party. He's not going to do that, run separately. So he would have to get the nomination for all the people who have been sending me a lot of emails. It's not a surprise, because listening to America Tonight, listen, there's people that completely support Obama, don't understand why people are embracing Obama for another 4 years. There's people, when we did our poll, that liked Herman Cain and Ron Paul. They seemed to come neck and neck, and Mitt Romney was down the list after that. Newt Gingrich didn't show up that much, just a little bit. People like things about the history of Newt Gingrich and how he was armed with so many facts, but they weren't, in our three-week poll that we did, they weren't really picking Newt so much. So, you know, you got Sarah Palin, who is pushing for Newt, too. She's pushing big time in Florida, saying he's the guy, he's going to clobber Romney in Florida. You wait and see. And you have a lot of endorsements that are going the way of Newt Gingrich versus Mitt Romney lately. Romney still has had a lot of people like the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, back him and say he's the one. And there are other people that are also endorsing Romney. He's gotten plenty of endorsements as well. I don't know that the endorsements mean anything other than if the person has some clout in certain groups that they'll listen and vote in that direction because they say, hey, this is my guy. You know, maybe then you could look at it that way, because it's always about, it seems like politics are the same thing, getting the endorsements, getting the money, getting the momentum, and then getting the delegates. So you have to have those things in play. You know, I could run and have a mountain of money behind me and have commercials out there and everything else, but if I didn't get the delegates and I didn't get the people voting for me in the primaries, therefore that's why I wasn't getting the delegates, then I wouldn't get the nomination. So it does boil down to that. It doesn't matter the endorsements or all the other things, the money bombs, the push, the rallies, if you're not getting the people to vote for you in the primary. So for anybody else that's left and it's not, and you don't think it's really just down to the two, Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, that's what has to happen. So you got to start a grassroots movement before it comes your way to try to see if you can turn the tide. Unless we start to see some dropouts, like, will Rick Santorum hang in? How long does he stay into this whole thing? I think Ron Paul stays in it for the rest of the way. I really, really, really do. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up, turn it on, shake it up. Yeah, 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 yeah. Your daddy don't know what your mama's gonna do tonight. Said your daddy don't know what your mama's gonna do tonight.
All right, a little blowback on the Keystone Pipeline. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, says, thank you very much. I'll take that, and then I'll raise you. Check it out. They're going to try to force the Obama administration to approve the Canada to Texas pipeline. How are they going to do that? Well, this is what you do in Washington. Attach it to a highway bill that Congress is looking at next month. The president, of course, booted the idea of the Trans-Canada application for the oil sands pipeline, said they needed time to review it for more than the 60-day window. So the Republicans are trying to figure out a way to resurrect this puppy. It's a $7 billion project, and lots of jobs are attached to it. I've talked about this a lot on America Tonight, and I've gotten some blowback for it, but I support the pipeline. I know that's shocking to some people who think that, you know, why do we want a pipeline? Why are we helping the Chinese? We're helping the Chinese by letting that pipeline go stay in Canada, where the Canadians will say, hey, we want the money, so we'll just take it to the Pacific coast, and then the Chinese can come and tanker it there, and we'll make money that way, and we'll be the ones losing out on it. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Look in the mirror and tell me that you're ready to completely give up oil. And if you are, then raise your hand and say, forget it. I don't, you know, then you don't care about the pipeline. I get that. but the rest of us are still part of the country where we thrive and survive on a thing called petro. We're not like living in Brazil where there's these sugar cane fields where we're chopping that down and we're producing an alternative. We're not doing that right now. It's like, it's a funny thing. You look at what's happening in North Dakota, the big boom there, which is a rivalry now to Texas. I mean, they're second only to Texas in crude output, right? And maybe they surpass them. But what is interesting is who benefits by not having the pipeline is Warren Buffett. And why is that? Because his railroad will be shipping the crude. 75% of the oil that is shipped by rail out of North Dakota is handled, by the way, by Burlington Northern Santa Fe. That's a unit of Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway. So I'm just saying that, you know, he is the president's favorite billionaire, and this is a good decision for him. He's benefiting from it. And the idea that, you know, we don't have any pipelines in this country, I hate to tell you, we got all kinds of pipelines in this country. And this has already been approved by the regulatory bodies, if you will. You had the energy secretary saying that that he signed off on it until, I guess they told him, didn't you get the word? We're not going to say that this is safe right now. Shut up. So Secretary Chu originally was all on board with this thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, let's wait. Let's do some more. Let's look for some more impacts. We need to review an alternate route. We need to look at a different route for this whole thing. And bottom line is, whether you think the jobs are inflated or not, there'd definitely be at least 15,000 jobs created by this, probably more indirect jobs, much more than that. And guaranteed jobs we're talking about, people are looking for work. What, 25 million people are looking for work right now? We're talking about 1,700-mile pipeline from Alberta to the Texas refineries at the Gulf of Mexico. But I'm not going to beat you over the head with a bunch of facts. I mean, I support it. I support it after looking at all the different reasons why I think this would be beneficial to us. And when there was problems in Nebraska, they're rerouting it, so no problem. That's it, no problem. Republicans in the Senate are going to introduce a Keystone bill, too, by the way. Senate Dems, there are some Senate Democrats that back the pipeline, but it's not guaranteed. The thing that's interesting is attaching the Keystone to a deal to extend the payroll tax cuts for workers has bigger bipartisan backing than the highway bill. It's another thing that, as I said, that's being considered as a way to go around this. So, I mean, this fight isn't over, but the way it's looking now, it gets pushed to 2013. And a lot of you called up and you thought it was just brutal. You didn't think the pipeline, that was ridiculous, too risky, and how would I like it in my backyard? I hate to say, but I guarantee there's pipelines all around me, as many of you probably live in that same situation. I'll tell you the thing that would scare me more is, like what happened in outside of San Francisco in that neighborhood where they had the gas line that exploded because they knew that there was problems with the gas line, but it was too expensive to fix it. So they just said, oh, we'll just wait. And then, you know, a few people were killed and the neighborhood blew up. Basically, they're lucky that it was only a few people that were killed. That to me is even more scary to think about corroded pipes and what's happening there versus the kind of pipeline that they're talking about, how they have ways to monitor it and they're watching it all the way down and whatnot versus some of the things that probably most of us are living on. All right, how about this as the blunder already of the week? I mean, I reserve the right to say something else might be a little bit bigger, but I happen to see this. And I was shocked. I read it in one of the New York papers when I was looking at a bunch of papers. There's a 66-year-old typing teacher who hasn't taught typing since he was accused of making some inappropriate comments to some eighth-grade girls. You know, when he was accused of making those inappropriate comments back in 2001, So we're in 2012. He's 66 years old. He collects over $100,000 a year from the city of New York. And the guy's name is Alan Rosenfeld, by the way, who also happened to be a millionaire businessman attorney who retired at 62, but was part of the, you know, got a job at the school doing the teaching, typing thing. And so, every year he's on board, and he's been on board, he gets the money. Every year his pension grows by another $1,700. I mean, is this ridiculous? They say his case is one of what they call seven in the New York City Department of Education. This is where people hate unions. He is one of seven cases where teachers that can't be fired, where the department can't fire the teacher. They call them rubber roomed. They don't do any real work, but they keep getting paid. Are you kidding me? How is that? We have kids that are learning nothing, and this guy's getting paid over $100,000 a year. There are teachers that aren't making enough versus this guy who was teaching typing, and he's still drawing that money. You heard the key thing is that I said here, that he's a retired attorney and businessman. So he knew how to work the system. And the grip of the education union, the teachers union in some states is out of control. And that's an example. And maybe they feel lucky that there's only seven of them, that there could be more where people get paid and they can't do anything about it. I mean, what kind of word is that? They can't fire them because they're rubber room because of the union. How many of you have had a job where they just absolutely could not blow you out and you were just drawing a paycheck, getting that $100,000 every year? So they're going to pay him over $1 million to do nothing? That's incredible. And people wonder, this is exactly the kind of thing people wonder why there's so many anti-union folks in this country. And the teachers union always they really hate that. They hate when people, you know, blame the union. But this is the prime example. I can't even imagine that he's getting paid that much to teach typing anyway. I mean, he does nothing. How many people are working full-time that don't even make anywhere near that? Oh, getting paid to do nothing. And this is, again, your tax dollars at work in New York. Tax dollars, crazy. Another success story, huh? She said sarcastically. Hey, stay with us. We have the weekly rewind. Some great interviews you don't want to miss. Hang with us.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer, is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to MysticStampAd.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to MysticStampAd.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Well, we keep talking about the greatest show in town, and it's the debate, seriously. Not only are all the Republicans watching, but the Democrats who will admit it are watching as well. That's why we're seeing these huge ratings. And, you know, I've talked about Mitt Romney a bunch. We've had him on the show. We've had all the candidates but two on the show. And so now everything moves to Florida. And how interesting has this become? We're excited to have on the show somebody who's going to dig even deeper for us on Mitt Romney, Ronald B. Scott. He's written a book about the man. It's called An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. And it's the first independent, unauthorized biography of Mitt Romney. Hey, Ronald, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
After looking at Mitt Romney and digging through Mitt Romney's life, what do you think is the most interesting thing? This is a tough question because you found out so many things, but what do you think is the most interesting thing about him that most people don't know?
That's a tough question.
That's what I said. I set you up.
The things they don't know about him. I think one of the really interesting things about him is the way he has stuck with it and improved as a candidate from the time he first ran for political office in 1994 and had a tough time with Senator Kennedy, how he improved when he ran for governor and won in 2002, and at each step of the way, and then again, he ran for president in 2008, had a difficult time. But at each step of the way, he faltered, but he seemed to learn and take to heart the lessons from each campaign. And the big question this time around was when Newt began to come back on him in South Carolina was, is he going to be able to get tough and rebound? Because he hasn't been good at that in the past. For a while there, it looked like he was faltering, but I think the fact that he's now come back in Florida seems to be leading comfortably. The debate so far tonight that I've seen has been decidedly in his favor. He's been in control and on top of his game, and so we're seeing progress as a candidate, and that probably bodes well for how he'll do against President Obama in the fall. Which, by the way, he continues to run strongly against President Obama, more strongly than any of the other Republican candidates by a long shot.
Yeah, and you feel it's Mitt Romney, right? You know, they keep throwing out this word, but it's true. I just got back from D.C. Mitt Romney is the establishment guy, if you will. So you think it's going to be him?
Well, I'm not sure he's the establishment guy. I mean, it's interesting. He certainly wasn't the establishment guy in 2008. So it's funny to see how those two things change. And let's not forget that Gingrich was the Speaker of the House and at a very critical time for the Republican Party. But, yeah, I think that Mitt seems to be the candidate the Republican establishment seems to be comfortable with. We've seen Bob Dole speaking out in his favor today. I think they're a little bit panicked at Gingrich's sudden rise and what that would mean for the party. It was interesting tonight when Gingrich was talking about the mantle being passed from Barry Goldwater to Ronald Reagan to him. Mitt's got to be having some deja vu all over again since that. His father walked out of the 64 convention when the Goldwaterites took it over. So to be having this assault coming from the alleged heir of Goldwater is probably a little bit interesting for him.
Yeah, I would agree. So you mentioned it. You said the rebounding. I would agree with that. When he gets slammed with all kinds of questions, and they're always financial, whether it's Bain or now the Swiss bank account thing or whatever it is, the investments or you're rich, how much tax did you pay, whatever the question is, he seems to really rebound from all of that. He's got an answer for everything, I guess.
Well, he's got so many areas where people don't really understand him very well. For instance, it's really difficult for people who are middle class and even upper middle class to relate to the kind of money he's made in his lifetime. And we have this unfortunate bad habit of thinking that if you made lots of money, that somehow you've done something illegal. and I think it takes a tough guy to be able to say, No, I didn't do anything illegal. I worked hard for my money, and there it is. I shouldn't be ashamed of it. I've paid my taxes. I've obeyed the law. I don't chase women. I'm the real deal. But he gets assaulted on so many areas that as a journalist, you almost want to say, what you need are a few flaws so people can have fun and know that you're human.
I agree.
In the book, I wrote about an arrest that he had when he was a young man, and it's a funny story. But the important part of it, even though it was funny and it humanized Mitt, it was the kind of thing he was embarrassed about and didn't really want to have out there because it was him getting arrested and the whole thing got thrown out of court. It was a ridiculous situation, but. And here's this great story where finally, here's a flaw. It makes you very human. It's something that everybody can relate to, and you don't want to talk about it.
What was he arrested for?
Oh, he and his wife and a couple of kids and some friends had gone to a lake near where I live, actually. It was a very hot May day. It was unusually hot for the in this particular May period, They went there to go boating before the season really opened, and the boat hadn't been registered for the new season, and some officious ranger said, if you put that boat in the water, it'll cost you $50. Well, he, being very pragmatic, went to his wallet, got the 50 bucks out, and the officious ranger had him arrested for bribery.
I love that. Did Mitt Romney really, really endear himself to the people of Salt Lake City when he rescued the Olympic Games?
Well, the Romney family is a very prominent family, and I don't just mean his dad, but I mean the whole big Romney family is a big, well-known family in Salt Lake City, so they were endeared there to begin with.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think when he went back and he did the job that he did at the time that he did in Salt Lake, that people were proud of him and proud of what he did for the city and proud of him for turning things around and most of all healing the image. The only knock on him there was the tendency to make the situation more dire than what it was and to take more credit for what went on than what he should have. But that's a typical kind of thing that a politician, somebody who's working in the public limelight, does. So it's you shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, because he throws that out all the time about Salt Lake City, I rescue the games, I'm not going to apologize for my success in other areas and that kind of thing. You know, one of the things that that a lot of people talk about is his time as governor and then the fact that he ran at the last minute. What was it that prompted him to jump into that at the last minute back in 2002?
Well, let me back up on the Olympic Games to say the one thing that should be noted about Salt Lake was even though he took more credit for what he did, The CEO of the Olympic Games there is quick to say, and he's a critic of Mitt's taking credit for too much. He's also quick to say, gee, you know, there was a crisis, and if he hadn't healed the crisis, we could have had more serious problems than we did. So he was good at heading problems off. His presence there and his reputation in business was good for that. Insofar as running for governor of Massachusetts, clearly, if you talk to anybody, he was running for president when he was president of the Salt Lake Salt Lake Olympic Organizing Committee. It was a platform that put him on the national stage, and he was looking for the next thing after he left there. And the question was, would he return to Massachusetts or stay in Utah? And as it turned out, in Massachusetts, the incumbent governor, who was a Republican, was very, very weak and was probably not going to get reelected. And I think the Republican Party was panicked about that. Mitt was on the national stage. He was very popular. He was very visible. And they said, come home and run for governor. He said, well, the timing's really tight. The Olympics are in February. You have to be announced by a certain date and so on and so forth. And I don't want to come. I'm not going to have time to campaign. And if I do it, you're going to have to make some arrangements to get her to step aside. And so some kind of deal was struck, and they managed to persuade her to step aside so he could come back and run for governor. But it was done very, very quickly, and that was actually part of the growth we were talking about before, that he set things up this time so when he ran for office, he would win, and he would have as much time as he could behind him to give him a chance to be successful in the gubernatorial campaign.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, this keeps getting brought up, and for me personally, I don't think it's an issue, and I think people have put it in the rearview mirror, a lot of people. But every time, especially the first time it came up the last time around in the run, the Mormon question, well, we haven't had a Mormon president. We didn't have a Catholic president before Kennedy. But do you think that the question of Mitt being Mormon really is huge in this election, or no, it's not as big of a deal as it was last time around?
Well, I would have said 4 weeks ago, it's not as huge as it was in 2008, but after Iowa and South Carolina, I can't tell whether it still is a problem for him or whether it's a problem with him more than it's a problem with Mormonism. But I got to believe that at least in the Republican primaries, the Mormonism continues to be an issue and one that makes him that costs him votes. And whether it will be an issue in the general election remains to be seen, but I doubt it. It certainly won't be as big an issue in the general election as it is in the primaries.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. Ronald B. Scott, the book is called An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. Thanks so much. You can pick it up, I'm sure, Amazon.com and a slew of other places. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
Hi, folks. Jason Lewis here. Did you know USA Today reports that nearly 20% of parents plan to take a second job to pay bills and support their families? Well, bravo. I applaud responsibility. But I have a far better idea, a way for you to stay home and earn that second income to pay bills or get ahead financially. I recommend starting your own internet-based home business through IncomeAtHome.com. They can help you start earning money fast. No selling soap, no cold calling, and no pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can do this in the comfort of your home. They provide the coaching and they bring potential customers to your home computer. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. And you know, I recommend IncomeAtHome.com to all of my listeners. So visit IncomeAtHome.com and check out the $1,000 giveaway. That's IncomeAtHome.com. Don't forget to tell them Jason Lewis sent you. That's IncomeAtHome.com, IncomeAtHome.com, IncomeAtHome.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Oh, time for another Made in America, my favorite segment. Right now we've got an owner of a clothing company, a clothing enterprise, Bruns Enterprises. It's Bruns Clothing, and he started this thing over a year and a half ago, and I'm just betting in 5 years you just wait to see how big this is. Lee is in the wings, ready to talk to us. Lee, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for giving me a call. This is really an honor to speak with you, Kate.
So let's roll back time a little bit and tell me how long you had been thinking about doing your own deal, doing your own company.
Well, I had a formal business education about 20 years ago that I hadn't done a thing with, and I was doing okay as a machinist, but I went to replace my Carhartt work jacket and couldn't find one anywhere on the shelves here in Watertown, South Dakota, made in the U.S. So about 6 months of it stewing and wearing on me and really frustrating that I couldn't find an American-made product here in the U.S., I found some friends and we put together a business plan with Larry and Tammy Henman, and they had the equipment, and we got rolling. So we've got four employees. We try to employ stay-at-home moms, so when their kids are at school, they come in and work. And then Mary Beth, she's retired and just wants to keep busy, so they're able to set works hours that work for them. And rather than employ 12-year-old children in Indonesia, we're employing Americans here in South Dakota.
Yeah, bravo. And you started with something, am I right, duck cloth? was huge.
Yeah, it's a 10-ounce duck cloth, so it sheds water fairly well. We don't market it as waterproof, but it sheds water like a duck when it's fresh, and with a hit from a silicon spray after washings, it brings back its water repellency real nice.
And you know, of course, and you made the comments to as much, that if you did this overseas, it'd be a lot cheaper for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think I could sleep at night. One of the things when we're putting together the business model, we had to realize that with a traditional business model, they've got a markup from the importer to the distributor, from the distributor to the retailer, from the retailer to the customer. We had to figure out a way to eliminate as many of those markup steps as possible so we could have a competitively priced product. So instead of a storefront, we're working the internet, and we've done very well so far just using the online sales format.
Well, how have you, I mean, obviously when you do an interview like this one, that gets some of the word out, but how else have you been able to market yourself? Is it partially because the internet is such an open highway, and is it also partially word of mouth because of the quality?
It's the quality, and then we've also found the motorcycle riders, specifically the custom motorcycle builders, they really want American-made products, and their loyalty, and they're very eager to share with their friends. So at this point, one out of every five of our sales is actually a repeat customer. So my friends from the Horseback Street Choppers magazine and all the guys in the custom motorcycle world, they were the first to jump on board and give us a try, and it's really grown from there. And once those initial jackets went out and they got a chance to try them out, it's really taken off.
You mentioned that you couldn't sleep if you had done that, if you had shipped it in a different direction, because it was all about that pride, made in America. And I bet the employees, and you even mentioned them by name, I bet they feel that same sense of pride, do they?
Yeah, and it's nice not just to be able to say it's made in the U.S., but it's made right here in Watertown. And I'm a little bit scared for the future of the country as all these American dollars are leaving the country. If we can figure out ways just to keep them circulating within our borders, everyone benefits many times over. The trucking company that brings our big spool of cloth from the Twin Cities over here to Watertown, the other truck that brings it from the mills in the Carolinas, the zipper companies in the Carolinas where our snaps and our zippers are made. So all of our materials as well as the logistics of getting it here and shipped back out. Even the cardboard boxes we use when we're not using secondhand boxes are made here in Watertown, South Dakota. So we're trying to keep not just the manufacturing and the retailing here in the U.S., but all of the supplies and materials and logistics in the U.S. also.
Yeah, you talk about the duck cloth and how well that works and the popularity of that. Is it the basic, when you look at the, you know, I looked at the website, and it's just gorgeous stuff, the jacket, the corduroy collar, all that kind of stuff. How did you design it because you talked to people that rode motorcycles, people that lived in cold weather, like in Watertown,
well,
like in South Dakota?
Everyone has gotten so accustomed to buying a jacket one size larger than they needed simply because the sizing wasn't fit for Americans. So that was a little frustrating. And then being able to say, hey, a tall, thin guy he wants the longer sleeves, but he doesn't need to buy a 3X just to get the sleeves that long. So by not carrying an inventory, we make each jacket to order. Someone can come in and say, I'd like 3 inches taller on the waist on a large body, 3 inches longer on the arms, and a tall, thin guy can get a jacket that fits him for a change.
Yeah.
And we've had some guys, as my buddy Leroy down in Iowa said, I got fat. My arms didn't get any longer. so he has us make a 2-inch underlength on the arm so that it fits him.
Yeah. Do you find that, because you're talking about online, do you find naturally, you mentioned this, the loyal 1 out of 5, they come back, and a lot of people in South Dakota and a lot of people right in your own neck of the woods, but obviously, outside, you're also expanding. You mentioned this, the Leroy in Iowa. Are you finding that more people in the Midwest and the Northeast? I mean, what's your clientele besides in your own backyard?
A lot go to Florida and California. The guys in California, they prefer a fleece lining rather than the quilted lining because it seems all the jackets they're able to pick up have a 6-ounce or even an 8-ounce quilt, and they're cooking. They're just roasting, so they want a winter jacket that still isn't so warm as we'd want here in the Midwest. And some of our customers in Norway, we've been shipping a lot of jackets to Norway, of all places. and they're tired of giving money to the Chinese, so they're looking for American products in Norway, the Netherlands, and England also.
Yeah. When you started the company, how to get it off the ground, because you mentioned a couple of you getting together, did it cost you a lot of money to pull this together? Because that's what people are thinking when they're thinking, boy, I have this idea just like Lee does, but I'm afraid to take that leap. Ooh, how much money am I going to need to start this?
We actually did it very, very inexpensively. I got a friend who built the website, and he was willing to work for a kickback off each sale. And then Larry and Tammy already owned the sewing machines, and they're just sitting there idle. So we're able to put existing equipment to work. And then let's say if someone's got a home, they're making something in their garage, they're making some parts, being able to get that that product in front of the customers on the Internet made all the difference in the world. But, no, it was very little out of pocket for us from the start. We had to pick up some bookkeeping software and a fresh computer. But these are a lot of things most people already have. Start small and grow, and try not. I'm not sticking my neck out. You know, I need to be able to know that if it doesn't work, we're not bankrupt. But we're going to do everything we can to make a go of it.
Yeah. Where do you hope? Because this is still in the infancy. I mean, sort of. You know, a year and a half. Is that right? How long you've been open?
Yep, year and a half. Yep.
Where do you hope that this ends up? I mean, what are you looking for? That you can hire more people? It gets bigger. What's the goal?
Well, right now we've got Haley, Tammy, and Mary Beth, and Amber, who are back between the cutting, the stitching, the embroidery. It'd be nice if we could actually have one person full-time on each of the machines, so we could staff 8 people full-time, and that would be nice. But it's also good, too, to be able to create jobs where retired people and the working stay-at-home moms can come in after their kids are at school and put in a few hours at their convenience if they've got a sick kid. So it's nice being able to create quality jobs for people that that need something to do for a few extra dollars to kind of help ends meet. So it's a quality of job, not just quantity of job. And I am in touch with some people at a major national retail outlet in the farm and home business, and hopefully we can work out a deal there and we can actually start offering an American-made work jacket off the store shelves of some of the farm and home stores.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What happens if the company gets really big and LB, you know how tempting that is. Somebody comes to you, they want to scoop it up, but they're going to make some shortcuts and use some product from other areas. Would you jump? Would you take the bait?
No, that's actually already been, we already got contacted by a larger business that said, hey, why don't you just let us make them for you and we'll just stick your neck tag on them and drop ship and, you know, you'll just put the money in your pocket. No, that would just be real short-sighted, and it just wouldn't be the right thing to do. And I guess it's really as simple as that. It's just not the right thing to do. I'd rather stay here in South Dakota and make a quality product here in South Dakota. And one advantage South Dakota is always going to have is we don't have a lot of overhead. We don't have our wages are very competitive wages. So I don't see a way for anyone to make me an offer that could possibly get me to sell it out. And, you know, I know instantly if we ever got bought up, they would start using imported products right off the gate. That's just how it works.
Yeah, that is how it works. Yeah, good for you. So if somebody wants to check out your website, send them to it. What's the website?
Just brunsclothing.com, and they can just fill out an order from there and mail it to me, or we've got the PayPal set up ready to go that way.
Yeah, terrific. I love it. Another made in America. Lee Brun, we're going to keep an eye on you and see where you end up. Thanks so much for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thanks again.